Bruce and Miss Leanne, and just thinking about how good God is to us. And of course, much has changed as far as even the young people there, but when I was privileged to serve there with the board of the Good Shepherd Children's Home, and my children got to be involved with them and know the kids, and some of the sweetest Christian testimonies are had by them, and I'm sure that the young people that are blessed to be there now are no different. It's just a wonderful thing to just a wonderful thing to see the Lord work, and I trust that God has given you a great vision of what He wants to do and how He wants to bless. And I'm so thankful for Brother Robert and Miss Leanne. They have given their life to this ministry, and now, as you heard them say, for now these many years that they have been there, and it's just a joy to get to see them serve the Lord together and with their boys and the young people. And thank you, young people, for being with us tonight, and a joy to get to hear you, and thank you for that. Well, One thing that Brother Robert desires for the young people to do is see the Lord work in their lives. You already heard the testimony. I want to preach for just a little while about leading others to see God. And we're on Father's Day, of course, and some of the themes might be similar to this morning, but you understand that the need in our nation is men that would stand up, not unkindly, not in an ugly spirit, but just stand up and say, here's the way, we're going to walk in this way. What we're lacking is men, and I don't have to give you the statistics, and I don't have them at my fingertips right now, but they're astounding how many people who are in legal trouble and financial trouble and all kinds of other moral trouble, how many of them did not have a father in the home? And many of them, they say, oh no, I know people that they had a father in the home. Well, there's absentee fathers, howbeit they live in the home with the people. They have nothing to do with the young people that live in the home. And so we have a great need for fathers to stand and lead their children, lead their wives, lead their families in a loving, kind, gracious way, but a very certain way. And that's according to the Word of God. And so perhaps you're here and that fits you. Perhaps you're here and you don't have somebody. You're a single mom and you are called upon to play mom and dad. Maybe your children are long since gone and they're a blessing to you. Maybe your children are long since gone, but they're having difficulties in their life. It matters not where you are tonight. I want us to think about this aspect, and that's leading others to see God. I'm going to look at Exodus chapter 19. This is right around the time when Moses is going up on the mountain and God's going to give the Ten Commandments. You know, it happened a couple of times, and God is gracious and gives them as he comes back up into the mountain, and Moses gets him here, and Moses is going to lead the people of God to see God and see God's work. And as a father myself, I want to see God, I want to see them work, see God work in what He wants to do in their life. And Brother Robert's desire for these young people, as he'd mentioned, is not only to be saved, but then to see God real high and lifted up and see that He wants to have a particular impact on their life. And I would challenge everybody in this room to understand that God's not interested in being just your general God and say, well, He's the God for everybody, although He is. He wants to have a very intricate, detailed part in your life. He's got the Lord is infinite in His wisdom, infinite in His ability, and He's got a specific will for every one of us. It's not just a one size fits all. Our God wants you to know that He's got an interest in what's going on. I understand that sometimes in our lives we get to a place where we think nobody cares. But my friend, that is not true. When father and mother forsake me, the Lord lifted me up. I understand that sometimes you have poor excuses for family members. You may have had a father that you enjoyed, or you may have had one that you had to endure, or you may have one that you couldn't find. But my friend, remember this, that God will work in your life, and I trust that you'll know that. Exodus chapter 19, let me get on track here. Verse number 16. This is, they are making a covenant. Israel accepts the covenant that God gives. If you want to look back in verse number 7, Moses came and called for the elders, the people. They accepted the covenant that God was giving to them. The purpose of it's given in the first few verses of that chapter. But look at verse number 16 of Exodus 19. It came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. They were seeing the God, they were seeing God work in the mountains. If you look in verse, or you can go on, verse number 17, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. They stood in the nether or the foot part of the mount, and the Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Verse number 20, and the Lord came down upon the Mount Sinai and the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. In verse 18 of the next chapter, chapter 20, where the Ten Commandments are given, verse number 18, it gives the response of Israel after Moses brings the commandments down from God. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. They were so worried that his power and wonderful majesty was going to just kill them. I want to preach for just a little while. Just give me these few moments about leading others to see God. As I've been burdened and burdened and burdened for not just fathers, not just mothers, but we've got a whole community around here that needs somebody. If you're neither father nor mother, if you're not even married, we've got a whole community around here that needs to know that there is a God in heaven. He did have a son, Jesus Christ. He sent him to this world. My friend, as we mentioned already, our world is in a mess. I thank God for our Sunday school bus workers. I thank God for everyone who gives time to go out. And it was a privilege of mine and Dan's and Daniel's and all of us to go out this week and knock on doors and try to find folks. Because, my friend, we have got to be consumed with the idea of getting folks to know that there is a God. And that's what Moses was doing. Moses was letting these people see that there's a God so powerful and majestic in the sky that he is meeting on this mountain. And those people went away and they were never the same. Yes, they did fall and falter later, but they certainly knew that they had a meeting with God. I want to show you this first thing. The followers, they got to see the workings of God in verse number 16, as we already read in verse number 18, as we said, as we saw there. I remember one time we were having a Rock of Ages conference at our church in Murfreesboro, and Brother Joe Arthur was preaching, and it just seemed like all in that room, the message was just hitting home to all of the people. And my son was on a youth activity with the church and the youth group, and just the way that it worked out. And I so longed for him to be there, because I knew that the Lord was working right in that midst of that congregation and right in that auditorium or that sanctuary. And I wanted him to be there for that. And I hope that you all have an idea of what it's like as a pastor when we have somebody that comes in about the service tonight, even when you hate to have been one that missed the service tonight, not because of the message, but because of God working through the young people that were here. My friend, I'm saying that we ought to be around the places where God is meeting with us, so that we would know what it's like to see the workings of God, as those people saw the smoke that ascended from the mountain, as the people saw the lightnings and heard the thunders. They understood that God was doing something. And one of the great things that you and I have opportunity to do as we meet people and our neighbors and our co-workers, we have the awesome opportunity and obligation to have a wonderful testimony so that they might see God work in your life. Amen. Do you know why you're supposed to be a Christian all the time? You never know when somebody's watching you. You are a Christian all the time. You ain't saved all the time if you're saved. But my point in saying that is, you know why you don't get a little 5-minute break? Why you don't get a day off? Why you can't say, well, I'm going into work today, I'm not going to act like a Christian today. That may very well be the time that somebody that needs a testimony from a child of God the most is going to be watching you. You say, preacher, that's a pretty long sentence. It's getting longer, because the longer we live, the longer we have to patiently walk with the Lord. And it's not just for you. I understand that sometimes we get up and say, well, I've got to walk with the Lord because my faith, I need that strength. Yes, that's good. But there are so many people watching you, and they need you to walk with the Lord because they need to know there's an answer. In this world that's giving more questions than answers, we need some people that would walk with the Lord as Moses did. And as Moses would go up in the mount where the people could not go, and Moses was the go-between and the one that was walking with the Lord, so that the people would know that God could be reached through a relationship. Number two, first of all, we see that the followers got to see the workings of God. But then they also, as I preached about this morning, they got to see a healthy fear of God in chapter 20, verse number 19 that we read. The people said, but let not God speak with us lest we die. They got to have a healthy fear of the Lord. I grew up and I have a healthy fear of God, but I also had a healthy fear of Dave Herdman. And the reason I have a healthy fear of Dave Herdman, I saw him dish out justice on quite a few occasions. Always for my siblings, but never, not usually for me, but now the rest of them, they really got it. And you see that happen a few times, and you understand that you don't like that happening to me. I was a quick learner. I might not be that obedient a kid, but I'm a fast learner. I realize if X gets this, and then don't do X anymore. If X equals Y and all that things, if this action receives this, then don't do this action anymore. And the people here, they got a healthy fear of God. They realized that there was a powerful, almighty God. And one of the objectives of the Good Shepherd Children's Home is that as the young people are privileged to come through and live there and spend part of their childhood with them, that they see, get a good, healthy dose of the fact that God loves them and that He wants them to live for them. And there's a bigger thing than what this world's giving, because the world pretty much tells us just to do all that you can while you're doing it, because it's all going to be over in just a little while. But they're trying to get them to see that there's eternity. And we ought to live in light of eternity. I want to give you just this third one in chapter 20, verse 20. Not only did these people of God get a good, healthy fear, and not only did they get to see God's working, but they also saw a deterrent to sin. Look in verse 20. The Bible says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that His fear may be before your eyes, that you sin not." I jokingly said that I saw my dad's justice meted out, although that is not a joke. I did do that. But you understand what that did? That kept me from living in a way that would be displeasing to my mom and dad as I was growing up. Now, I certainly did plenty that I'm not proud of, but I did. There was a whole lot more that I wanted to do, but I wouldn't do for fear of my parents finding out. And folks, that's a healthy thing. Because that's not a fear as in, oh my, if I get caught, I might get busted on. That would have been true back in the day. But it also goes to that point. It's somewhere transferred from that mindset to this mindset that I'm going to give you. And that mindset that I'm going to give you is this. I didn't want to disappoint them. And so I started living not for fear of getting caught, but for fear of disappointment. And we see that the fear of God brought a deterrent to sin. God, or Moses said to the people, he says that, I'm giving you these ideas that you sin not. Let me give you just this last one as we look at it, and we'll be done here in just a few moments. I want you to look down at verse number 24 of chapter 20. Before you start feeling sorry for the people of Israel, before you start feeling sorry for somebody who lives in certain areas of their life, but that God has chosen to put them, look in verse number 24, because these folks who had had the scare of their life when they saw all that happenings up on the mountain, God says here, an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen, in all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. So not only did God demonstrate His power, but He also told them the way that they could see Him work, and they told them how they could be blessed, because He gives them this idea. He says, you shall sacrifice upon these burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. And that was a way to get fellowship back before God. And in all the places where I record or put my name, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. As I close up my message for Father's Day, one of the greatest things that I think a father should want to do is to get his children or grandchildren, great-grandchildren in some of your cases, is to get his children, grandchildren, or great-grandchildren, is to get them in the line of blessing. Let me explain what I mean by that. There are certain lifestyles that you understand are going to be hard going. Now, there are certain people who say, oh, no, you shouldn't preach such specifics about how people should live. Well, let me just give you a couple of questions. Somebody over here lives a moral life. Somebody over here lives an immoral life. Which one's going to have more trouble? Someone over here lives a life that obeys the law, the laws of the land, that is, obeys the laws, tries to stay within the framework of what a citizen is supposed to do, like the Bible says they're supposed to. Somebody over here says those laws are for other people. I'm not gonna strap myself to those things. Which one's gonna have more of a hard time? Somebody over here says, I'll put in my body the thing, since this is the temple of the Holy Spirit, I'll put in this body what would be helpful, what would be hurt, what would be a benefit. This person over here says, I'll put every substance known to man, some that aren't known to man. My brother, who's a trooper, he has told me before that one thing in our little area that I come from that many young people are involved in is taking chemicals and mixing them together and either huffing them or ingesting them, not knowing at all what those chemicals do when they react one to another. And you've got somebody over here that says, I'll put anything in my body that I want to. Which person's going to have a harder life? You know, it's a statistical fact, financially, that people will thrive and flourish if they'll get a job, get married, have children, in that order. If they'll get a job, wait till after they're married to have children, and then have the children and keep that job, of course, instead of all the ways that we've tried to reinvent and say, no, we're going to do it this way. And I understand all the people that say, oh, marriage is archaic and it's just a relic from some other past era and whatnot. But I'm telling you, statistically, anybody can make financial strides in the right way if they'll follow that program that I just gave you. That's not a Baptist preacher. That's statistically speaking. Why is that? Because God's right every time. You remember the little jingle that first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes so-and-so with a baby carriage? Well, there's more common sense in that than there is in most of the philosophies that are going around in many people in our society. And as I mentioned here, God tells the people that I'm going to record, I'm going to put my name here, and I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And so I give you that last point that a parent, a grandparent, whoever it is, one of your main goals ought to be to get your child in the vein of living that produces blessings. Because you can, and one person put it like this, this person is breaking the commandments of God. And one old preacher spoke up and said, actually, they're breaking themselves against the commandments of God. Because the commandments of God will stand no matter how many lives get broken against them. Not because God is unkind, but because God says what God said, and he will leave it at that. He's a just God. He'll never change. And so if I can get my children, you can get your children, your grandchildren, and the young folks at the Good Shepherd Children Home who have such wonderful attitudes, if they would get their life lined up in parallel fashion with the Word of God, then they get to a place where God can more easily bless them. Now, thank God for restoration. Thank God for forgiveness when we try to go opposite of the way of God wants us to go. How many of you have tried that way? The rest of you are just afraid to admit it, aren't you? We all try it. Thank God that he forgives. Thank God you can 1 John 1:9 it and get it right. But how many of you understand when you go down those paths, if you could reverse time, which you can't, but if you could reverse it by 2 months and make a different decision, then you'd sure do it. And so this type of lifestyle that Moses was giving to the people to watch God work and to see his thunderings and his lightnings and the smoke as was sending from the heaven or from the mountain into heaven, that was, yes, seeing the workings of God. And yes, it was bringing a healthy fear of God in their lives, but it was also getting them to a place where God says, I'm going to put my name here. Anytime you bring your offerings up here, then you can get closer to me. You can get in the vein of life that I choose for you to go in. God told Elijah, you remember that story, that the ravens would feed him there. The scripture says, being in the way, the Lord led me. And my friend, I hope that you are lining your life up by the Word of God. And if you're a parent, I hope that you are trying to instill upon your children to line their life up with the Word of God. If you're a grandparent, whatever influence you have on those young ones, you ought to make sure that you give the rest of your life to try to make sure that they line their life up to be a God-fearing individual that lives in the way that God would be pleased with. Why? Because it's going to be in the place of blessing in their life, and that's where God wants to do it. God wants to pour more blessings out on us than we have the capacity to hold. But most of the time, we're our own worst enemy. We get ourselves in a situation where God wants to bless us, but we keep working against Him. We need to take very seriously this idea of influencing others. And I believe if God's given you children, grandchildren, whoever else, or none of those, and you just have the opportunity to influence people, then we ought to do all that we can. We ought to do all that we can to help them walk in the way that thus saith the Lord. You know how good of a friend you are being to somebody in your children as you try to get them to walk with the Lord? One person's put it like this, that building men, building boys or building young people is better than mending men. Meaning if you could get somebody to get on the right path early in life, that beats to pieces after they come hard against the lessons of life and then fixing them up. Getting people to see the Lord. What a wonderful opportunity we have. I wanted to ask you this. In just a moment, we're going to pray. And I want several of us to, you can come up here if you want. I want you to pray for Brother Robert and Miss Leanne, two of the boys that are here. They're the boys that God has given them, and they have somewhat adopted. They've taken the rest. But I want us to pray for the Good Shepherd Children's Home, because what I preach tonight is what they're trying to do. They're trying to show young people that living for the Lord is the best life you can live. There's a popular writer that wrote a book, said, "Your best life now. If this is our best life, we're in a lot of trouble. We got a better one coming when we get to glory." But the best life that you can live is to live your life honestly before the Lord and live it according to the Word of God. I want you to pray for Brother Robert, and I want you to pray for the Good Shepherd Children's Home. And may God use us to be a blessing to them, but may God also use us in every one of our lives. Some of you have influence on people at your work and you don't even know it. You don't stop to consider it. I'm challenging all of us to keep on living for the Lord. We never know when somebody's watching. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, this hodgepodge of a sermon, I pray that you'd take and do something with it. But Lord, I'm so moved at what you've done through the ministry of Brother Robert, Miss Leanne, and the young people at the home. I pray that you'd put your richest blessings on them. Lord, I pray for every one of these lives that they would choose to live for you, dear Lord, the best life possible is to live in accordance to your word. I pray that they would do it. As we stand together and our ladies play, if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Folks, God has been very, very good to us. And I challenge you to take this opportunity to thank Him. I challenge you to take this opportunity to vow that you'll live your life in a way that's pleasing to Him. And you'll influence the people that you can to live in that way. As they play, would you pray? Perhaps you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved. You've heard it mentioned by me, by Brother Robert, but you're here and you're not saved. You're not sure of it. Would you slip out and come? Let us take the Word of God and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. As they play another verse, would you just do business with the Lord? And maybe you're like me and the Lord has moved you to a place where you realized how blessed you are. And maybe you just need to spend some time thanking Him for what He's done, for who He is. Thank you. You may look this way. We'll pray in just a moment to dismiss the service, but I want to thank you for being here, and I hope that you, like me, are glad you didn't choose this Sunday to miss. Of course, you know I'm usually here every Sunday. I hope you don't miss any of them, but if you're going to choose. What a joy. Thank you, Brother Robert, for being with us. Miss Leanne, thank you, young people, for being here. And what a joy. I hope that after the service, we're going to go eat in just a little bit, but we've got time. I hope you'll come up and meet Brother Robert, and you can find out the Facebook information. You get on there and check out the Good Shepherd Children's Home, and maybe it's something you'd like to make a trip over sometime to Murfreesboro and help out with some different things. They've got folks coming in all the time. You can coordinate ahead of time to let them know you're coming, and they can get some projects and whatnot. But I want you to certainly be in prayer for them. And then they are going just for a little while tomorrow to Pigeon Forge. And so you know that there's a large vacuum sound over at Pigeon Forge. Just sucks the money right out of your wallet. And so if you've got some that you'd like to donate to Gatlinburg, then you can stop by and see Robert and give that to him. And we gave Bert cut a check for the home and just a little bit to be a blessing to them. But if you'd like to help with the young people, some fun that they'll have tomorrow, then I challenge you to give that to Robert. And then he can disperse that as needed for some different activities. If it's not that trip, then it'll be another trip. But it's a wonderful ministry. And I hope before you leave, you'll get by and see he and Miss Leanne and get a face with that and let them know that you'll be praying for them. So I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to come. He's going to make one final announcement, as if he didn't make enough already about Bible school. And then he's going to pray for us.
Tonight, after the service closes, I know there's a lot to do. As Pastor just mentioned, you want to come by here and meet them. Also just want to see if we could get some men to help primarily just move some tables around, get some chairs taken down, and some things set up so that we can have Vacation Bible School and just a couple different things. So just give you a quick rundown so you can move to some places if you're able to help. And then I'm going to appoint a couple leaders. I'll meet with them just real quick and send them. So we have some tables to set up in the gym, some chairs to take down in the blue room and in the men's classroom, some things to move out of here, and also to move into here as well, and then some chairs to take down in the home builders class as well. And so if you're able to help out in one of those areas, and you can kind of make your way over there, what I would like to see, Brother Marty, are you available to kind of help me, and then Brent, if you can help me out, and then Brother Shannon Barker, and right afterwards, if you three could come up here just real quick, and I'll give them the instructions, and then they'll head out to those places, so you don't do anything till they get there, so that they can help you through that process as smoothly as possible. And then I'll be right in here kind of helping out, make sure things get situated in here. So if you're able to help, we would certainly appreciate that. It'll take a lot, get us a lot ahead as we get ready for some things, obviously, to get them going for tomorrow. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the day you've given us today. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be together. Lord, I pray that you would bless the evening. Lord, I thank you that we've been able to just enjoy your presence and enjoy your people, enjoy your praises. And Lord, I certainly pray that all have been a blessing to you tonight. Lord, I pray you bless us as we go. Help us have a wonderful evening. And Lord, get some things done and then go home and get some rest before the week begins. And just pray you bless the Good Shepherd Children Home. Lord, that you bless their ministry and each one of these boys and girls and their leaders. Lord, just use them in a mighty way and guide them as they seek you individually and corporately. Lord, we pray. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you very much. You are dismissed.